Welcome to the Charmed Life Podcast. This podcast is all about magic, metaphysics, mysticism, and the unconditional love of the universe. And I'm your host. My name is Trisha Carr. I'm a spiritual teacher, multidimensional medium, empathic channel, animal telepath, and hypnotherapist. And this episode is all about mediumship. I have a guest on and have a conversation for a little bit with a lovely person, Jamie Day. Jamie Day is a medium. She's so inspiring. She's also a spiritual development teacher. Jamie and I have just the best time on this conversation. And so before we dig into that, I want to just invite you to subscribe, to share this content if you enjoy it. And especially on the podcast, if you would leave a review, leave us any, you can just leave a star or you can just write something. It really helps to boost us in the algorithm, helps me to get out there, and just helps me to keep putting out this content. And I should let you know there's also a YouTube channel, and I put out different content on the YouTube channel and the podcast, as well as my Instagram. So follow me on Instagram at Trisha Carr Charm. And that's how I met Jamie. So, you know, it's a really good place to get together. I actually met Jamie on Instagram. So with that, I'll play for you this awesome conversation, and I will chat with you on the other side. Jamie, I'm so excited to connect with you. We found each other. I was following you on Instagram, and I don't even know how. I don't know if I was following you already, but I saw you do the little reel where people are going, your sign. Hey, what's your sign? And you put all, you put your, the top three.
That's right.
You put the sun, moon, and ascendant. And I was like, oh, what? Those are mine.
That's right.
I mean, first of all, I don't know if I've met people with the same top three.
I don't think I ever have.
Who, well, because you also don't know, like you don't ask people all the time, like, wait, right. And people don't.
Some people do, but you I know. I think the muggles out there, right? The regular people of the world are like, they don't even know that there's more than the sun sign. So
exactly. Right. Right. And then even then when you start to learn the moon sign, then the ascendant comes far.
Yeah.
Unless you're an astrologer, which I am not.
No, me neither.
So we
I can't believe our big three are all the same. That's
crazy. I know. And so I commented and I was like, oh my God, I'm too. And you're like, oh my God, I think we're best friends now, right?
Yeah. Did we just become best friends?
Yeah. It's in the stars. So
yeah. Remind me when your birthday is. I forget.
March 17th. And yours is like?
March 7th.
7th. I love it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Too funny.
What's your human design? Do you know?
No, I can't remember.
Okay. Well, then you're
probably whatever yours is.
No, it's probably not, because I'm the one that's the 1%. And when you see that, you're like, your jaw drops and you're like, what? Well, for me, I'm a reflector. And it means that all of my centers are open. And so when someone first introduced me to it, they showed me that. And I'm like, so I'm not a person? You know, so you don't forget if you've been told you're a reflector, because it's terrifying.
That's funny.
No, it's not, though. All designs are beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to look mine up again because I can't remember. But that's tricky because you're an empath for sure, right? So that must really just amplify that for you.
Oh, yeah. And that's exactly what human design shows us, is that the open centers, and I think even the open gates, that you can amplify energies, because it's like a way to draw in energy and to learn and to expand in wisdom, or to, you know, fearfully map them and then amplify them. So yes, exactly. It's empath to the extreme. So working on it always.
Yeah, always.
And also teaching about it. Now let's get to you. So you are a medium. Are you, what else are you? So let's talk about, let everyone know about your journey, your work, like just, I'm going to give the floor to you and just, you know, make out with the audience.
Sure. Sure. So you're so funny. So, I'll say this. People always want to know how I kind of figured this out about myself. Cause like I, especially people that knew me before, because I was a school teacher and then I worked in nonprofits and I just was a very, you know, regular person. And that's one thing that I try to teach now, is that this is something for regular people. You don't have to be some kind of super special or woo-woo yoga, meditator. Like, this can be for anybody. Mm-hmm. But the way that it kind of came to be for me is I had really sort of seen and experienced ghosts my whole life. I just really never realized that that mediumship was a part of that. I was never afraid of them, just kind of who I am as a person. I was always really into it, drawn to it, intrigued by it. When I was little, I used to watch Unsolved Mysteries on Friday nights instead of like whatever the Friday night programming was. I would have my parents tape it for me and they would pre-screen it to make sure it was appropriate because I was like 7 years old and obsessed with James Van Praagh. Does that. Yeah. So mediumship has always been something that I've been interested in. And I would see ghosts all the time. And I used to be like, oh, I'm just lucky. They just must know that I'm not afraid. So they don't mind showing themselves to me. And then as I got older, I was just always, I would watch mediums and I would say, man, I wish I could do that. That is so amazing to me. I just thought it was the most awe-inspiring thing. I just thought it was amazing. And so at one point in my life, my early mid 30s, I guess, I was pregnant with my last baby. And I was already kind of on the verge of a spiritual awakening because I really wanted to have a natural birth with her. And I was sort of really diving deep back into my meditative practice in order to help myself with that. I'd always meditated off and on. I'd always, you know, read tarot off and on. Just that was something I'd always been drawn to anyway. So I was really getting deep into my meditative practice already. And then unfortunately, we lost my mother-in-law very unexpectedly, traumatically. And it was really hard for us. And it really kind of rocked my world. And I don't really have much of a relationship with my mother. Her and I were close and I was pregnant. So I was heartbroken. And I just was so desperate to feel her around me that I was asking for her. I was saying, please just be with me. I knew that she was really into mediums because we had lost my father-in-law only a year before that. And so she was constantly going to mediums to try to get validation that he was still around. And so I was saying, I know, Robin, that if you're out there and you're able to get messages to me, I know you're going to send them to me. I know you are. I believe it. I know it. So let's go. I'm ready. I'm here. Send them to me. And then it was like, she was everywhere. She was just so present for me that it was absolutely undeniable. There was one time I was running a, group home for adults with disabilities at the time. That's what I did full time for work. I was pregnant and I would take the long way so that I could drive by the ocean to get to work just because I was sad. And I would have these conversations with her while I was talking and I'd be crying. And I show up at work this particular day and, you know, I've got that cry face on where my cheeks are all red and my eyes are red. And I go and I sneak up to my desk. I don't want my staff to see me. I sneak up to my desk and I open the windows and I'm sitting there trying to take a deep breath and get myself together. And the church next door is having a funeral and they are marching outside with bagpipes playing Amazing Grace. Now, just 2 weeks before that, I sang Amazing Grace at her funeral. And she was Scottish and very proud of her heritage. And I had even gotten her a present. I was going to get her a tattoo of her Scottish, you know, a Scottish symbol. So that was a big thing. That exact version of Amazing Grace was like exactly her thing. I didn't happen to know any bagpipe players. So I got some chorus friends of mine to help me sing it. But that was what she had wanted. That's what she had asked for. If I ever die, I want Amazing Grace on the bagpipes. So I just knew it was her. And she just was so present all the time. And I just was like desperate to connect with her. And I leaned into it. Yeah. And then it grew from there because I was like, okay, if I can do this, what else am I capable of?
Yeah.
What else can I do? And so I secretly started practicing some psychic things, some mediumship things, just very gently dipping my toe into it, very privately, didn't tell anybody, didn't tell any family, didn't tell anybody anything. And then once I got enough, you know, sort of evidence for myself that I wasn't nuts, that I was not, in fact, losing my ever-loving mind, and I realized that this is real and this is really happening to me. That's when I sort of, you know, came out of the proverbial closet about it. And the rest is history. I've been doing this now professionally for like 5 years. So
I love that. Oh, what a beautiful story. I actually when I had my, this is crazy though, I was getting chills. When I had my spiritual awakening, my best friend, it's like her story is your story.
Really?
Her mother-in-law had passed. It was unexpected. And that triggered her spiritual awakening. She's not close to her mother. And she desperately needed her mother-in-law because her mother-in-law was like her mother. So here's the thing. My best friend, she was so devastated that she didn't even tell me about her mother-in-law passing for like 3 weeks because she couldn't even pick up the phone.
Yeah.
And she wasn't putting it on Facebook. You know what I mean? Like, anyway, you know, it's not that unusual for us to, even though we were like best friends, you know, not speak for a couple of weeks or something like that. You know, we're not seven.
Yeah. adult life. Yeah.
So, but I was having, without also not picking up the phone and calling her, I started having a spiritual awakening. I was waking up in the morning going, what's this feeling? And it didn't make sense to me. And then I learned empath and, you know, all this kind of thing. That's really triggering everything. And so her awakening because of our etheric cords triggered my awakening, and her awakening was triggered by the loss of her mother-in-law.
Wow.
And isn't that something? So you know what Spirit told me once? The reason why
– chills.
I know. The reason why we have maybe an awakening, or like when my father passed and we weren't close either. So this was – it was really interesting to see how things shifted. Because it wasn't like a loss, you know, with my father, not in the sense of him being in my life.
Right.
But I was so astral, like so ungrounded for a few days. So Spirit told me at the time, like the reason why that is, or why you might have a spiritual awakening with the loss of a loved one, is because a part of you is no longer here. A part of you has now moved to the other side. So of course your awareness is there.
Oh, that almost made me cry. Yeah, that's beautiful. I really haven't thought of it that way. That's a really beautiful way to look at it. And I definitely think that that's true. I think that we choose our family and we choose the life that we're going to go into, right? When we reincarnate. And
absolutely.
I think, you know, I chose her as much as I chose my husband and my own parents and all that. You know, I think that this was, and my sister-in-law, her daughter is my best friend in the world. And she's really kind of come into her own, with spirituality, I think because of some of the things that I've helped teach her. I mean, I'm sure she would say it in a really much more eloquent, complimentary way, but, I've been proud of that since then, of how my mother-in-law has affected me. And then by turn, I've been able to help other people in our family.
Yeah. So you've been doing it professionally for about 5 years, and you've been with your husband longer than that. Cause you happen to talk about that. So how did that go?
Well, I mean, it's definitely, I can imagine that it's definitely a challenge when your wife sits you down one night and says, so I know we've known each other for a long time, but I see dead people and your mom is one of them.
Yeah.
You know, he was definitely kind of like, sorry, what? And he's like, it's not that I don't believe it. I've never, you know, this is nuts. And I was, because I had kept it so private for so long, I was basically like, I can prove it to you. If you want.
You developed the skill already.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. That's a good way to go about it. Like I went to my husband, like, I think this is happening. I'm sorry.
I was afraid somebody was going to put me in the loony bin.
So you're like, I got to figure this out before.
I knew it was real. Uh-huh. I knew that I wasn't crazy. I was very confident and secure in that I knew that I wasn't crazy, but my fear. And I think I teach mediumship development now, and I hear that from so many students that that's their prime. They think when they go into it that their fear is going to be unwanted ghosts things like dark entities. They always think that that's their top fear. And then when we get there, their two fears are number one, the number one fear that most people have is that they're not going to be able to do it.
I know, right.
And then number two is
they've never done it before. So that's why, of course, they have evidence of not doing it. So it's like, yeah, of course your human mind believes that. Anyway, sorry, number two.
Number two is, my spirit mind, I actually forget what we were even saying. What did we just say before?
Their number two fears is that they're not going to be able to do it.
Their number one fear is that they're not going to be able to do it. And their number two fear is that they will be considered crazy, that other people are going to think they're nuts.
Yeah. The Enlightened Entrepreneur, an 8-week live online program to launch and scale your spiritual business. This program begins July 18th, 2021. It's one thing to know you are a healer or an intuitive, a coach, an energy worker, but quite another to figure out how you can take your talents and create a successful business out of them. We need to know how to set up our life to support our work and how to attract clients and build a brand, how to conduct our sessions with integrity, and how to shine our light even brighter so more people can find us and book with us. Enter The Enlightened Entrepreneur, a live online 8-week course specifically designed to teach heart-led practitioners how to launch, establish, and scale their own highly successful spiritual businesses. The Enlightened Entrepreneur is taught by Crystal Ann Compton and me, Trisha Carr. Crystal and I bring you our years of experience as successful independent entrepreneurs in the spiritual space, and we alchemize this with cutting-edge, groundbreaking technology designed for heart-based entrepreneurs. If you know you have a mission to help and serve, if you want to do what you love and love what you do, and if you believe that spiritual entrepreneurs are not meant to suffer under the weight of professional struggle, then register now. We begin July 18th. Scale up or start your spiritual business with The Enlightened Entrepreneur. So, you guys got through it. I got through it with my husband too. Our main fear, my husband's, I thought he was going to think I was nuts, with the stuff that was happening. And we'd been together 10 years, you know what I mean? He'd known me totally different. And we had a breakthrough one day because I said to him, I said, I'm not, he told me that his fear was that we were going to be, he couldn't do it too. So that means we were going to be different and we were going to drift apart. Is your husband say that too?
I heard your reels turning before you actually said it. So I knew you were going to say that. But I think that was a big thing, was that he feared I was going to change or become like a different person. And that does happen to a lot of people when they have their spiritual awakening. Things in their life no longer align with them. But luckily, he's a good enough guy where we were able to grow together. And I still try to be as, myself as possible. Yeah. Authenticity is a huge thing with me. So, even though I've changed or things in my life have changed, I think he's good with it now.
Well, and you guys, you're aligned. If it's aligned, then it will stay. If it's not aligned, then it will fall away, like your old career and my old career. And
people too. I've lost people in my life, not necessarily because of the mediumship, but as I've grown, they've just no longer worked for me. So,
Well, the person I was talking about who I had the tandem spiritual awakening with, who's my best friend, she's my former best friend.
And
it's not like that. It's just, the drifting away thing, which we never imagined would happen. It's so, anyway, it's totally fine.
I've been there too. Yeah. And we just have to trust that the universe knows the plan for us better than we do and just kind of roll with it.
Right. Being together for a season, there's nothing wrong with that. It can be really beautiful, but I'm there the second that I'm there. We were still together, the beginning of that soul contract with that deep bond, it's still there. And that's eternal. It's kind of like, as a medium, when someone will show up and you have all the descriptions and they're like, and I'm her husband. And the woman will be like, nah, that's my ex-husband. And it's like, well, spirit doesn't really care.
Yes, correct.
The eternal promise still kind of sticks.
Exactly. You know, it's funny. I have actually kind of a funny little spirit story for you that relates to that. I did a reading, last week. And when I do my half hour phone readings, they go by really fast. So I know not every medium necessarily will agree with this. But what I like to say is, okay, these readings go by really fast. I want to hear what your top priority is today. What is it that you most wanted to talk about? If there's a spirit, and I don't usually say this part, but for some reason I said it, I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I said, if there's a specific spirit that you're really hoping to hear from, why don't you just give me like that relationship and I'll see if I can call that person in. And that's the part that I know not every medium agrees with.
I think that's good though. I think it's good. I love that you're honoring. I'm not as traditional as everyone else. Don't say anything. I speak the whole time. I don't do that either. Anyway.
Because spirit likes to make it a three-way conversation. Totally. They don't want me to just be relaying evidence. And I think, listen, they have free will on the other side, okay? Just because I call doesn't mean you have to pick up the phone. Right. Just because I ring the doorbell doesn't mean you have to answer. How many people hide behind the couch when the doorbell rings, right? You don't have to answer if you have a – if you have other things to do, spirit, feel free. You don't have to come just because I call you, but let me at least ask. This is who they want. And I've very rarely had a problem with it because they love you and they want to support you. People don't ask for people who are like, I have no desire to do that. Usually, yeah. You know, occasionally. But yeah. So for some reason I said to her this, I always usually will say like, okay, these go by really fast. Let me know who it is you most want to hear from. If it's a spirit, if it's just psychic, you can give me a question, whatever. Mm-hmm. And for some reason I said, you know, we just don't want to waste time on like, you know, like your boyfriend from when you were 16 or whatever. And she was like, okay. And so she told me who she wanted to connect with. And I anchored in and I went to sort of pull in that connection. And I was like, yeah, I know this is what you said to me, but has your husband passed? And she said, no. And I said, no, they're not letting it go. This says someone that you loved passed. And she said, my boyfriend from when I was 16. I said, okay.
Well, I guess we are wasting time. Technically. He wants, sorry, dude.
He wants to say hi. So that was funny. I just thought that was really
funny. It is funny. It's sad that a 16-year-old boy passed, but
it's yeah.
Funny. Yeah. It's really funny how it sneaks up on you. And that's the thing. That's the kind of the demonstration of it being a regular thing because you didn't know that you were tapping in at the time, right. But you just said that off the cuff. And
I hadn't even really started. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I hadn't pulled it in. And I also, I've had that example. Actually, I did a group reading the other night and I said, it was like it was a small group reading. So we only had like a few, you know, or I think it was like seven or eight people. And, I had sort of said something like that. And I used somebody else as an example. I said, you know, like Dad John. And, then I had my hand pointing to this girl cause I talk with my hands. And, she laughed and was like, that's my dad's name. He's passed. I do that all the time.
I know. But some other times it's like, not that, I don't know, flippant and easy, you know, other times you're like, ugh. The sitter doesn't get it that easily. That's yes. The other thing, right?
Well, the same exact group reading, she was sitting in a chair next to her cousin. And the reason that I had even brought that up is because I said, who do you most want to hear from? Because nobody was jumping out for her. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And she said, my grandmother. And then we continued the reading and I connected with her grandmother, but her grandmother was so quiet and was like, I don't really have much new to report. Like, nothing going on up here. I'm watching you and everything's fine. And, yeah. It just was funny because she was so quiet that I felt like I was kind of pulling teeth. Like, you got to give me something, lady. She wants to talk to you. She's not letting it go.
Yeah, you got to. Isn't that interesting? This is something as you teach mediumship. We have to learn that we have to remind them of the human priorities. It's like, yes. Y'all need to give me an evidence. That's great that you loved her. All those sentiments are fantastic. But give me something that helps them. And it's also kind of unfortunate that we do need that. But, you know, we have to, we also have to train or remind the spirits what it is that's important to us, right?
Yes. And I teach that in my classes, you know, how to work on evidence first. Yes. But you also have to have some sort of level of flow about it because sometimes what the spirit wants to talk about is what the spirit wants to talk about. And that is that.
And, you know, I was just saying this the other day. Evidences have to be felt as well. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you can always deny evidences, but they still aren't evidential until you welcome them in with like your heart or with your feeling, right?
Yes. And actually, how many times have you had a sitter come back to you after and say, you know, that thing that I kept insisting was not accurate?
I know.
Well, I talked to my brother and turns out you were right.
Yes, exactly. It does. And then I teach my students this too. You can't even imagine how many people probably don't come back to say that because they think, I don't want to bother her. Oh, it's rude. And, you know, or they're just a little bit shy about it, or that it comes through like a year later and they don't. I mean, that's why we do that thing where we say, okay, we'll put that in your pocket and maybe it'll make sense later.
I say those exact words all the time.
Oh, it must be brother. It must be your past aunt telling me, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there are people going like, wait a minute. This turned around for her. She had the awakening and everything. Now you teach mediumship, but how did you develop it? Like you said, you'd been practicing it. You developed it. How did you do that? What was your process? Before you told your husband and everything, like you're making sure you got that skill in there before they locked you in the loony bin.
Do you want to know my honest answer?
Yeah.
The hard way. I did it the hard way. I did it by obsessively practicing.
Who did you practice with, though? How did you practice?
So, you know, I found some, and this, I tell you, it was the hard way because I don't actually necessarily recommend this, but yes. I found a lot of like just Facebook groups, you know, how they have mm-hmm. those like psychic reading, Facebook mm-hmm. groups, free reading. They're all over the place.
Yeah.
You got to be careful with those. Take them with yeah. a grain of salt, right? If you're listening and you're like, oh, I'll try that.
Yeah.
Definitely try that. Just, you know, have your thick skin and just take it all with a grain of salt. And just remember that if it doesn't resonate with you, then you don't have to take it. It's not, if somebody says something, it doesn't mean it's for you. It doesn't mean it's right. true. It doesn't mean it's fact.
There are ethics and they may not have ethics being
exactly.
managed there. You know?
Yep. So, yeah. And ethics is the very first lesson that I teach in my class because.
Me too. Us too.
Look at that.
Partner and I. Yeah.
Look at that. Because it's so important.
Mm-hmm.
I always talk about to my students, you know, you watch these TV shows. I don't want to say any particular names or anything. I'm not going to call anybody out, but you watch these TV shows where the medium goes into a grocery store and is like yes. asking yes. the butcher if his mom died.
And it's like, no, you. And so I love how aligned we are. You yeah. can control your gifts. We have free will.
Of course.
Don't be poking around in someone's field. That's rude. You know what?
So rude.
If I'm a computer hacker, I can also go and hack into your bank account. I right. have that skill. Don't do it.
Right. Exactly. And it's so unrealistic. That's not really what happened. What really happened was they had a contract with this particular store. All the employees and the fake guests in the store knew what was going on and signed forms. All this is a group reading in an untraditional setting. These people yes. all already agreed to this and they knew what was happening. Exactly. It sets an unrealistic expectation. And I've had students before who've been like, this is so cool, right? Because as you're coming into this, you're like excited about it. And you're like, oh my God, I want to read for them. And I want to read for them. And I want to talk to as many dead people as I can because it's amazing.
Yeah.
You can't, it's not, you don't have the right to do that. You don't have the right to invade somebody else's space without their permission. And I will never, ever read for somebody without consent. So.
Without consent. And I even say explicit invitation. Now there are yeah. There are some gray areas. If it is your, if it's your spouse, then there are layers that, you know, yeah. you still have autonomy and you shouldn't be poking around in the business of your spouse to certain layers, but then you're yeah. so entwined that there are some, yeah. you know, like their guide might poke out to, you know, there are some,
yeah.
and then your kids too. To me, yeah. I think you have coverage over your kids to the degree that you are still their guardian, you know, mm-hmm. but if your kid's 17, you have they have more sovereignty than when they're four. When they're four, you can get in there and say, get out of here. You know what I mean? Like if you, mm-hmm. right? You're a mom. You have like four kids?
Four total, yeah.
Amazing. So I'll bet they are psychic or mediumistic. Yeah.
Yeah. So my son, bless his heart, he is a triple water sign.
Oh, no. Well, you and I, we get it. We just got yeah. the sun sign and we're scared.
Yeah. So he's Scorpio, Pisces, Scorpio, I believe.
Oh, that's possible. Right.
I know.
He has no choice but to be psychic.
Yeah. So he actually, we were just, before we did this call, he like wanted to spend a little bit of time together. He's triple water sign, right? Yeah. That's like his, you know, their love language. And he really wanted to watch a movie. So we were out there watching a movie together. And he kind of snuggled up next to me and he said, you know, mom, like it had something to do with the movie, why it came up. But he said, you know, sometimes I see things in my room. Like sometimes I see shadows that look like people. And so we had a whole conversation about what to say and what to do and how to ask them to leave. And he said, well, sometimes I don't tell you about the things I see in my head because I'm afraid that you'll think that I should talk to a doctor or something.
I'm the one mama that's going to be slow yeah.
and
to
that's
trigger.
Exactly what I said. I said, baby, believe me. If there is anyone you don't have to be afraid to tell that stuff to, it's me. It's me. I'm the one person you should go to. He's seven.
Isn't that amazing? That's just such a demonstration of conditioning. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like you're so young, but yet he is still picked up from the world that seeing things, being psychic, being mediumistic, being spiritual is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like the fact that he even has the language that you might make me see the doctor because I have a mental disability. I mean, you know, he's very advanced, but
right.
and, but that's, yeah, that's amazing. So that's good. So it cleared that up for him then?
Yeah. My kids are really, the two little ones in particular, they're definitely in tune. Like they regularly will ask me to smudge them when they feel feelings that don't belong. And I don't want my kid, like, I don't even use my real last name in my business because I just want my kids to be able to have the opportunity to separate from what I do if they choose to. I don't want their friends to Google them and say, like, oh, you're the one with the cuckoo nuts mom. So, you know, I just want them to be able to separate from it as much as they want. So I don't really push any of it on them, but I'm happy to answer any questions that they ask. And they will come to me all the time and ask me for smudge or crystals. My kids love rose quartz. They call it the love rock.
Oh
yeah. And they like black tourmaline. They call it their bad dream rock. they're just so cute. And so they already kind of have that connection. My son, I think that he has the potential to be, you know, a better gifted medium than I am. And my daughter is, almost like a too sensitive empath. Like
I felt that. I knew you were going to say that, but I was like in my mind, but wait a minute, the triple water would probably be the too sensitive empath. But yeah, that's how it balances, right? That seems, it's like, that's how it's going to balance. Somehow one of them's going to be a too sensitive empath.
Yeah. Like one time she was in the other room. She used to have, we would call it rest is best time. When she started giving up her nap, I would have her like lay on the couch and watch. She usually wanted to watch Daniel Tiger. And there was one time I was working in the other room and I could hear her crying from the couch. So I came running in and she's laying on the couch. She's going, my ankle. She's like two. And I was like, oh my God, what's wrong with your ankle? What happened? And she was like, it hurts. And then I can hear from behind me the TV, Daniel Tiger sprained his ankle.
Oh, honey.
I know.
Poor empath.
Baby, that's not your ankle, honey. That's Daniel Tiger's ankle. Your ankle is okay. She's just so sensitive like that.
I'm just about to release again, you know, you kind of another video on what RTS, you know, return to sender, but I call it release to source. Is it mine?
Release
to source. Yeah. So.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Yeah. Because we all have we all are the intuitive sense or the empathic sense, the sensitivity, you know, any of us could do that, but you know, yeah, she's extreme with her mirror neurons making her own ankle actually hurt.
Yes, sweetheart. I know. And I think when they're young, you know, they don't know yet to shut it out.
Right. Or to realign and, you know, yes, exactly. Wow. That's amazing. So raising psychic kids I think the way you're doing it sounds really amazing. You just kind of got to be vigilant, open, and hold space, right? Isn't that the ultimate holding space for them?
I'm trying, you know, there's no rule book really for this. So there's no rule book for parenting, period. And when we're talking about this kind of stuff, there's really no rule book. There's a bunch of great books, but you know, case by case basis, I think. So I just do my best every day.
Yeah. It's, you know, bridging the gap between the realities, like teaching them about what everybody else thinks and feels and experiences might be different than yours. And everything is valid. That's tough stuff.
Well, and we're very big on honoring our loved ones over here. So we're constantly talking about them, talking to them, things like that. So they're used to that part.
Well, that's beautiful. And that's honestly, I mean, that's a part of other cultures, less a part of Western cultures, but it's very much a part of other cultures. So that's not even like as humans go that odd. I think it's just as Americans go.
Yes, I agree.
I'm okay with being odd as an American.
Me too.
Well, so you talk about do you do a ton of one-on-ones? Like what is your professional life like? You teach and you do one-on-ones. Like what does that balance look like? And you know, what are you doing right now?
Well, this last year or whatever has been hard because I've been homeschooling my kids. We you know, and like I even pulled them from the district and was teaching them myself rather than remote just because I wasn't crazy about the way that our school was doing the remote plan. And it worked out because we ended up moving actually. Mm-hmm. But so it's been the balance part for me this last year has been challenging being home all the time. Yeah. But typically, so I offer private one-on-one readings and I do those by phone or by Zoom. I have stopped my in-person readings just because time-wise, it just doesn't make sense for me anymore. Mm-hmm. But I do occasionally, you know, host events or whatever in person. So if people want to see me, they can check those out in either Maine or like usually on the North Shore of Massachusetts. That's where I do those. But then I also do one-on-one teaching. So I have my mediumship development course and you have the option to do it with the intensive mentorship. So that comes with a lot of like one-to-one phone calls and Zooms and things. So that's how I spend the bulk of my time, is pretty much on Zoom.
So do you set for your one-on-one mediumship development, do you set up for them practice readings? And observe them and coach and stuff. That's great. Fantastic.
So it depends on sort of where they're at with their own comfort level. I like the one-on-one aspect as opposed to group coaching, because you can really kind of meet people where they're at and you can really build that relationship and that bond. So we offer in the mediumship thing, we do spirit circles. So we have practice circles where I get volunteers and then we all practice kind of as a group together. And then I also, if the person feels ready and prepared for it, we'll pull volunteers into our one-on-one sessions. Sometimes they're not there yet and they don't want to. Other times they are like ready to start within a couple of lessons and they want to start giving readings. So it depends where they're at.
Right. But they have to cross that threshold of trying.
Right? Yes.
You have to, in order for any of the education, any of the immersion, any of the, you know, dreams that I'm having, and I think I connected with someone, you have to have the sitter in order for it to really start to manifest, right?
Yes. And what I teach them is that, you know, you can learn the foundational techniques all you want, but until you, you know, work up the courage to try, your growth will only ever go so far.
Exactly.
You can know anything.
Yes.
It's the application where it matters.
Absolutely. Daryl Anka, who is a channel, and he channels someone named Bashar. One of my most favorite quotes is from Bashar is, the language of manifestation is physical action.
Yes.
So you can get teaching and learn how to do readings all over the place, but you're not going to do readings until you do readings.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's so important, because people, you know, I also have a whole lesson on like, no, on the word no, when you do a reading, because getting, you know, that's so intimidating for a new or a developing medium. It's like, oh my God, they said no. I'm wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I'm wrong. This is wrong. I'm terrible. This is all over. Let's quit.
You know what I call that? I call that going rogue. So going rogue is like, what it means is like if you were on a team and then you just went off and did your own thing. You know what I mean? Like I'm telling, not necessarily you, telling everyone. Like you're going rogue from the team. You're leaving the. So when you go, I'm wrong, I'm bad, you've left the team of spirit now.
Yes.
You've made it only about how good your human mind can be. And we need a lot more than that.
Yes. Yes.
A lot more than your human mind for this amazing multidimensional, omnidimensional experience that is coming through you as the portal.
Yes. Yeah. And the best way to conquer that is with practice, because you, number one, get used to and get comfortable hearing no, and you realize that it's not a judgment on you. It is simply information, and you need to tell the spirit to send it in a different way, because you're not understanding it. Mm-hmm. Or the sitter isn't understanding it. And you need to then, it helps you build confidence to practice, because then you get evidence in your back pocket that says, look, I actually am doing this. I'm not making this up.
Right. And sometimes when you get a no, when you have the experience, then you go, okay, and you reset and there it is again. And you're like, all right. You know what I mean? Like, well, there's something here. And so that's a really cool phenomenon that when I was in my sort of developing, to be like, okay, so it's not being interpreted correctly, but there's still something here.
Yes.
So yeah, you can tell spirit, go figure it, go recombobulate it.
Yes.
Or tell someone else to talk to them, to the sitter.
Yeah. And then I say, okay, normally like they'll let it go once you pick up on it. And I know you're saying no, but they're not letting it go. So there's something here. So like we said before, I say, just put it in your back pocket. Maybe you'll figure it out later.
Have you ever had to fire a sitter, or like, meaning like, oh, we're not connecting, and or just like, yeah, like gotten on a call and been like, I'm getting that, like, there's nothing. They show me a blank slate.
Once.
Yeah.
I've had to do it once. And
that's okay too. See, but that's the thing. It's maybe once usually in a whole career, or if the career is 20 or 30, you know, a few decades, maybe it's twice. But we also have to teach that lesson right up front, right? Like just in case, so that you don't go rogue.
It was in person. Mm. It was in person, and it was, I had already had some red flags. Like when it was a man, and not that this is the red flag itself, but typically, you know, I get more women than I get men just because I think they're more open usually. Or if I get a man, it's usually because a woman brought him and made him do it. But so this was a man who had wanted, he had somebody in his mind that he had wanted to connect with. And we got there, we sat down face to face, and he had his arms crossed and he was shaking his leg the whole time. And his energy was just so blocked. Yeah. And I felt the spirit's presence, and the spirit was talking to my ear and saying all these things. And no matter what I said, he just said, no, nope. Yeah. I don't know. Nope. 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 That doesn't make sense. And spirit's in my ear going, yes, yes, mm-hmm. yes. Yes. And won't say anything else.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know what to do here, but we're going to have to call it. I'll refund you. Like, sorry. I'm really sorry.
How much time did you spend? Because I've had one.
Way too long.
Way too long. It's hard, you know, because even though I'm giving this, I'm preaching this lesson about don't go rogue. I'm doing that too. Like, okay, I'm not doing something right.
Because then your confidence gets shaken, right? And then your vibration lowers because the humanity in you is ramping up. Now you're starting to freak out, your human self, and you're no longer in a place of surrender. Now you're in a place of worry. So your vibration is dropping, which just makes it harder to connect. The more you pull, the further away it gets, you know? I'll tell you another story that this one's actually kind of funny. I did almost have this situation once. And I was reading for this woman who had really, really wanted to connect with a friend of hers who had passed. And as I was connecting with him, I just kept getting no. She just kept saying no. But I was physically describing what he looked like.
She said no?
No, she said yes to who he was and to the way that he looked. But now when I'm trying to get further into it and I'm asking questions, it's a no, 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 every piece of evidence that I'm getting. And so at this point I stopped because now I've learned a little bit more. This was years later. And I sort of had a little pep talk with the spirit in my mind. And I said, listen, buddy, if you don't give me something, I'm letting go and I'm pulling somebody else. Mm-hmm. And so I started searching for another spirit that we could connect with. Cause now I know, like, if this is not working, we can move on and try somebody else. I don't have to keep pushing, you know? And so I started connecting with the grandmother now instead, and he comes slamming back in all the sudden. Whoa, 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 whoa. All of a sudden he's giving all this evidence now that she's validating. And he was basically like, I was just testing you.
He was testing you?
Yeah.
Rude.
Wicked road. But it ended up being a really funny story that I tell all the time now. So,
oh my gosh, isn't that amazing?
And she ended up having a great reading, and she thought it was funny too. And she said that it suited his personality, and she wasn't at all surprised. So
that in and of itself was an evidence. So here's the deal. He's crossed over. Presumably he's more like 5D. So he's more oriented to unconditional love. Mm-hmm. Not totally though. Still got some of his personality, still working through the portal of like some separation or challenging, right? Like, what's your take on that?
Yeah. Oh, because you know, want to know what I think? Huh. I really, really believe that when we have to connect with a spirit in order to do a past loved one reading, you know, we have to, as mediums, raise our vibration in order to meet spirit up here, which is at a level that's a bit higher than the regular average sitting human connection. Mm-hmm. But spirit also has to lower their vibration in order to meet us. That's why it's called the medium. We meet in the middle. It's a halfway point. They have to lower their vibration to meet us. And I think that in order to do so, in order to communicate with us as the way that you as the sitter would remember them, they really have to kind of embody their human form. They have to drop down into that, this is how I was as a person level.
Yes.
So I always tell people, like, listen, if I tell you that she's saying like, oh yeah, that, you know, it's still really hard for me to process my death or something like that, keep in mind that they're answering you from their human perspective.
And from the place of where, like, kind of like what is relevant to the sitter too. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Oh my gosh. That, I love that. That is very eloquent. I hadn't really thought about it in that way.
You have to be able to recognize them, right? But they also have to, you know, lower their vibration to a closer to human perspective. So they might forget all that love and light and everything, or maybe not even forget it. Maybe forget's not the wrong word, but they sort of step out of it in order to be there for you as
a personality,
the closest version that you'd know.
Yeah, they have to bring their ego back, because ego is autonomous, separated, or at least the human ego is. That is, yes, that makes so much sense. And I think that maybe that also is helping to explain why some just say no, that they don't want to come through. Or if they're in their life review process at the time, like that point of perspective from our human, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know how to do that yet. I'm trying to figure out how to stay here, let alone do the whole dance back and forth.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm going to share with you, and this is an alert for everyone. There is salty language here, but this literally happened.
I love it.
And this, my friend, I've told the story in public before. I have permission to tell. It was when I was practicing a little bit, but it was a friend, but not like my best friend, like a closest friend. Anyway, mm-hmm. he had a friend who had passed, and he was devastated over it. It'd been a year or two or whatever. It was a tragic death. He was very devastated over it, but it was his best friend. And so we're doing the, he's coming through, and he said, even like, you know, I kind of like did the, there was a little physical mediumship because I kind of looked like him and sounded like him and stuff, you know, that thing.
Yeah.
And so it was like, and you've had past lives together. There's a life that was showing up, and these are both men. And I said, and so in the past life, that we're seeing, you were actually a married couple. You were the husband, and your friend who was passed was the wife, and my friend, the living person. He goes, ha ha, you were the woman to his friend. And I heard his friend barely clearly like get in my ear and go, yeah, don't worry, I never sucked your dick. And I was like, I'm not saying that. I said, I'm not saying that. And because I just didn't want to break the mood or anything, but I was like, yeah. And then I did call my friend later, and I was like, okay, I'm going to tell you this is what he said. And, and he was so like, funny. Oh, he busted up. And it made that like made the reading for him. Because again, that was so then. That was so his relationship to say. So talk about lowering your vibration to like some naughty talk even.
Oh, I've had a lot of I'm not saying that experiences. A lot of them.
Can you think of one?
Well, I can think of one, and this, I'm going to use some salty language too, but
good.
I can think of one in particular where it was this woman I had connected with her Italian mother, very like the stereotypical, like Italian and proud, like I guess, I don't know, a friend of hers even like would do impressions and stuff of that, like Italian moms be like, you know.
Oh yeah, that.
So she just was like the type of Italian mom you'd see on TV. And I said to the girl, I go, I think we were talking about her love life or something. I don't remember. But I said, she wants to know, like, what the heck you're doing? And the girl stopped dead in her tracks. And she goes, she didn't say that. And I said, yeah, she said, your mom wants to know what the heck you're doing with this guy. And she goes, my mom did not say what the heck. And I go, okay, you're right. She says, what the fuck? What the fuck?
Oh, I love it. I love how this is.
And I just did it. I was trying to like be professional. And her mom was like dropping F-bombs at me every chance she got. So from now on, I'll say, did she have kind of a potty mouth? Did she like to swear a lot? Because I like to check in first before I really start. And they'll say, oh yeah. You know, and then I know that I'm free to really roll with what I'm hearing and not try to censor myself.
That's amazing. Oh, what a fun job. You have. And we
have. We have. I love it. Love it. I've never felt more fulfilled in my life.
Oh, I love it.
Because it's not just the fun stories. It's incredible, healing, powerful stuff.
Yeah. Is there one standout story, I don't know, of heartfelt or amazing evidence, you know, that comes to mind?
There are so many. Mm-hmm. You know, I did one reading yesterday. In fact, I think it was either yesterday or the day before. And it was funny because I really just didn't feel like working. I'm not going to lie. I'm a Pisces, as you know. And yesterday, I don't know what, or this week, I don't know what the energy's been all about, but I just wanted to like lay in my bed and watch true crime shows and maybe like make some art. I was having a very Pisces moment. Right. But I'm an adult and I have a job. And so I did my appointment anyway, and it ended up being like really, really sort of therapeutic for her. And I got off the phone and I was even sort of just overcome with emotion with her bravery. And I don't want to share any details, obviously, but just with her bravery and the things that like we talked about were really, really difficult things. And she I forgot because I don't remember my readings. I don't know about you, but I never remember.
Oh, no,
them.
I don't.
She had said, you know, I had a reading with you a year ago, and I want you to know that I've really done the work and look how far I've come. And I could feel that from her. And I just knew in that moment when we had the reading, when we had this conversation a couple of days ago, I felt an incredible sense of release, both from her and from her ancestors, from the loved ones that we were talking to, from the people before that, that she hadn't even connected with. It just like talking about this thing that was hard for her to talk about healed so many things, not only within her, but within sort of that bloodline. Mm. And I could feel it. I could physically feel the release. So it made me almost emotional just how like magical that sort of experience we had together was. Yeah, I feel, I mean, you know, it's one of those moments that make you feel good about what you do and helps helps remind you why I do this work in the first place.
Absolutely. And it's really beautiful how our healing is healing for the ancestors. It's healing for our family around us. It's healing for, it's just showing us it's one energy.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes, we are so connected. We are all one. Spirit is everywhere. And I've had lots of those moments on my own too with, you know, my own past loved ones. So that's, this work helps me sort of in my own way too. Obviously.
Always, right? Always the healing that we get to witness. We also channel it. We have to experience it.
Yeah. And do you ever find, let me ask you, do you ever find that your readings kind of go in line sometimes with like a theme? Like I find that I'll have five or six readings in a row that are about something similar. And oftentimes it's about something I'm sort of dealing with too. Yeah. Spirit sends me clients exactly when I need them too.
Yes. And that's something that like we talk about and when we're doing mediumship or intuitive development, it's kind of like you got to, and when that happens, you got to stop and check yourself and go like, okay, but is this really for them? Or am I kind of phoning it in because I just heard this from you yesterday from me, or I just said this to the previous client.
Yeah.
But when I, but if you just give yourself that beat and double check, it's like almost always a yes. And then they're like, oh, and it's the thing. And I'm like, well, spirit's really efficient, isn't it?
Yes. Really efficient. Really efficient. And I appreciate it because it's, you know, my readings have helped heal a lot of things within me too.
Yeah. Absolutely. Or, you know, like your dreams will set you up for it. Like you have dedicated dreaming. And I know it's sometimes one of the things that we say in my house when it's something like that or a synchronicity, it's almost like you can't write this shit. I mean, the universe is actually like if you turn the script into Hollywood, they'd be like, get out of here. That's bad writing. Like that's too on the nose.
Yes.
You have
a
president named Trump who's a jerk. No, that doesn't make any sense. Someone who trumps things. No, get out of here with that.
That's a real bad movie script. That's real bad.
Yeah. It's real bad. I know. Oh, I wish next time I'm going to opt out of that one next life.
Yeah. Well, listen, higher self.
Hey,
what were we thinking? Why now?
Right. Oh God, Jamie, you're so amazing. Seriously. I expect you to move to California tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause this is so fun. And I just love your energy. Everyone, please do follow Jamie.
Thank you.
On Instagram, we'll put the links there. And where else can they find your work? We have your website, of course, in the description. And what else? Where else should they find you?
So I also have a Facebook, and it's again, it's just Medium Jamie Day. But I'll be honest and tell you that I'm probably most active on Instagram. That's probably the best place to find me.
You do really fun reels, really creative fun reels. Yeah, I love your Instagram. I filmed
one today with my kids. Wait till you see. They're a little sneak. I made them be ghosts. So you're going to see a couple reels coming up with my kids as playing the ghost.
I love it.
In my life.
Well, this has been so fun. I really appreciate you coming here and shining your light on this podcast. And also, you know, we'll have a video on the YouTube channel. And so, you know, I mean, seriously, and I would love to talk to you every week and we can just like reflect back and forth to each other.
Yeah. It's so nice.
Validation.
I know, right? It's so nice to talk with, you know, like-minded people. And one thing I think that's been so wonderful for me over the handful of years, the last handful of years, about really sort of owning this about myself and being authentic about who I am as like a spiritual person, sort of, you know, coming out and being like loud and proud about this is who I am, and this is what I believe, and this is my life, and this is what I do, is that it's allowed me to really just align with people that are like me and who get me, and my circle of friends is incredible and it grows every single day. With these beautiful, like-minded people. And it's just amazing. It's wonderful.
Oh God, you're so right. That is such a perk. such an amazing perk. And I actually thank you for reminding me. It's almost like I take it for granted. Then I go out into the world and I say something nice to someone and they're scared because they're like, why is someone being nice to me?
Yeah. Well, you go out in the real world and you realize that not everybody is like you. And you're like, whoa, this real world is harsh. Wow.
Yeah.
Look at it out here. But I've made myself a nice little circle of wonderful people, and I love meeting more wonderful people to bring in my circle.
Oh, well, I would like to count myself as a part of your circle and you as a part of mine.
Absolutely. And, well, that's what I meant. That's why I sent it.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, I just want to make the contract very clear.
Yes. Okay. You hear that, everybody? You hear that?
All right, Jamie. Thank you so much. It's really been so beautiful connecting with you. And everyone check out all of Jamie's media and, you know, listen back to this podcast because her energy is infectious and beautiful. And so everyone, this is Jamie Day, mediumship teacher. Go check her out, y'all.
Thank you so much. It's been so nice being here. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Well, I hope you had as much fun as Jamie and I did having this conversation. It was so much fun. And, you know, I want to tell you, if this really lights you up, mediumship, and whether you're practicing or not, I just want to invite you to, well, you could check out Jamie's offerings because it sounds like she does some really phenomenal work. I also want to invite you to my platforms. I have the Mystic Arts Academy, where we're doing 2 workshops per month on all kinds of out there and deeply in there spiritual workshops, different topics. In addition to that, of course, we have the Light Shine Spiritual Academy, and that is the educational platform with my friend, my best friend, Crystalline Compton. We always have programs that are coming up for spiritual development. We have every year our Intuitive Intensive, and this is a groundbreaking, soul-opening program to open your intuitive abilities. We have coming up pretty soon, as this goes to publish, the Energy Intensive on all types of energetic modalities. And, you know, when we do these programs, we set the intention to channel new spiritual technology. And boy, does it happen. And I say that as a boy, because we mere humans have to actually make the space for this intention in our bodies, our minds, and in our lives. But it's always so phenomenal, the community, and it's just wonderful. So I just want to encourage you to shine your light even brighter. I'm encouraging myself to do that as well. So if that means spiritual education, if that means to give yourself time and space to go on that nature walk and listen to your favorite podcast or your favorite spiritual book, then just know that that is doing not just yourself, that self-love, that self-care, that self-expansion is, it's helping you, but it's running over to the rest of the world. Many of us are here to anchor the light. Many of us are here to expand so that the whole expansion of the universe can be made manifest. And if you're here listening, I'm gonna put my money on that being you as well. Well, once again, I want to invite you to like, subscribe, share, comment in whatever way that you are listening to the podcast, then please do leave a review that boosts the light quotient of this podcast, helps other people to reach it, and helps me to keep producing them, you know? So I couldn't do it without you, though. I love you so very much, and I appreciate you for shining your light on this world. And as always, I thank you for tuning in. I love you. Whoever you are.